2017, marooned at MacBytes headquarters. How are we all? Oh, I'm seeing chat. Was this yesterday's? No, it's not. It's today's. Excellent. Hello, Jonathan. Cooking in the background, pasta salad. Oh, I'm liking the sound of that. Not that I can find even one piece of gluten-free pasta. So let's not go there. Was one of my favourites, that. Kim's just got out of a scientific webinar all about COVID. Lovely. Was it entertaining? It was from a periodontal. Ooh. Yep, I get it. It all counts, doesn't it? All counts. CQ, Deb. CQ. Right, we're up to date. So, what has today brought? Yet again, I'm going to say this up front. Yet again, the day was peaceful, wasn't it, Mike? Mm. I worked till late. I always work till late. But this was later than usual. Had a nice gentle lie-in, sauntered out of bed, said, is there any crises? He said, no. I thought, good, it's going to be a good day. And it was, until Mike finished work at 4 o'clock. Then everything hit the fan all at once, as per usual. I can't tell you how chaotic it is between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock here. I don't know why. It just is. It just is. Right. I did have some stuff, though, because I did find some stuff that I thought was very amusing. So let's have a look what we've got. We've been talking in Slack about Zoom. Now, Zoom is the platform that everybody and their pet poodle is using for keeping in touch with each other. I've said to Mike, it's not the best out there, but my word, they certainly market the life out of it. Hello, Anthony. And it, because of the marketing aspect and how easy it is to use, and the fact that the free account does actually give you more than the free accounts on the other VidCon platforms. I mean, you can get a free account with WebEx, you can get a free account with GoToMeeting, but they're much more limited than the Zoom ones are. So Zoom becomes the go-to platform. Now, Zoom had a huge problem about a year ago. We discussed it on the show, thought it was comical. I think we've mentioned it before as well. It was, they would say it wasn't a bug, but to make Zoom work so other people can request control of your screen, you can share your screen, you can share your webcam, it has to install a server component, and it does, stealthily. But they left it wide open, and the resulting situation was such that Apple decided that was it, all done. They were going to roll out a stealth update to nuke this thing. Now, who was it mentioned in the chat in Slack? Let me get Slack up as well as all the other 47 windows. Somebody mentioned in Slack about uninstalling it. Let's have a look. It was one of the Debs. It was Debbie Scott, that she hoped she can uninstall the whole thing. That was the problem. That's exactly what people were trying to do last summer to solve the problem. And it was impossible to uninstall it successfully. Now, not impossible to uninstall it, but uninstall it successfully was problematic. The reason being, you could uninstall it, but it still left a component that said, hey, is this installed properly? No, it's not. I'll just re-download that. So you were stuck in a loop. That's why Apple rolled out the stealth update and nuked it. But what's happened lately? We've got three reports. Paul had mentioned one. Now, where was your one from? 9to5 Mac. XNSA hacker finds that Zoom flaws are there to take over Macs again, including webcams, microphones and root access. Not great. But in the meanwhile, I'd already read three other articles that were talking about problems with Zoom. The first one was that Zoom meetings aren't end-to-end encrypted. Our government are using these to run the cabinet meetings with. I won't say run the country because it's quite clear the civil service runs the country, but that's concerning. Then there was an article about Zoom iOS app sending data to Facebook, even if you don't have a Facebook account. What are they sending data to Facebook for? Full stop, whether you have an account or not. Didn't make that clear, so I've no idea on that one. But the classic one, and we've all had a good laugh on Slack over this, is that Zoom is leaking people's email addresses and photos to random strangers. Now, fear not if you've got your own domain. So, for instance, my email address is at rosewoodgiles.co.uk. Mike's is his own domain, mthomas.co.uk. In that circumstance, you're fine. You're also fine if you've got a standard shared email address. Now, when I say shared email address, the bit after the at. So Gmail, Google Mail, Yahoo, all the popular ones. But what Zoom have left turned on is a feature that if the part of your email address after the at is the same as somebody else's, and this is particularly hitting in, was it Holland or Denmark, Mike? I've got a sneaking suspicion it was Holland. I'll go and have a look. I think it was the Netherlands. Dutch. So they've got lots of ISPs over there. One was DDS, but there was about three or four. And obviously the bit after the at is the same. And that is whose pictures they are seeing. Other people that have the same email domain as you do. And you're seeing their photographs and their email addresses. And what needs to happen is these ISPs need to ask Zoom to turn it off. Now, as Paul quite rightly said in Slack, why is it turned on by default? Why don't you turn it off? So the situation where this would be useful is a situation like Mike's company, where they've just taken on Zoom, haven't you? He's asleep. Bless him. Not listening to a blind word. And obviously, in those circumstances, he doesn't want to have to go and find individual people's email addresses to try and add them and connect to them. So basically, it's if all the email addresses are at the same email domain, he can see all of them company-wide, 65,000 of them. They're not in danger of this. Who is in danger of this is if you are with a small ISP who hasn't opted out of this. I mean, it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't come down to this. We're talking about Zoom, Paul, and it's myriad problems today. I still don't think it's going to be enough to knock them off the number one spot for VidCon right now. I think the global situation is such, people are not going to care. Their desire to keep in touch is going to trump anything else. To the point, there was a lovely story yesterday about a woman who had two children. These kids were probably around the 10 to 12 mark. And the lady's mum and an aunt. And the lady's mum and the aunt didn't have a device to keep in touch with. So she asked the kids if they'd be prepared to give up their iPads. And she's given one to the gran and one to the aunt. And they're all using it to keep in touch. The kids were sat next to her on the sofa with the biggest scowls on their faces. And the journalist said, "Are you okay doing that?" And the kid went, "Yes," from between gritted teeth. Poor kid. I mean, the time she needs these iPads the most, and she not got them. So yes, Zoom, not the best platform if you're interested in security. Now it got worse after that, didn't it, Mike? Because you just found a story too.
Mm.
Do you want to share that story?
No, I'll let you share it.
Oh, lucky me, lucky me. Right, I'll open this as a page then. And
you
find
these things so much better than me.
Do I? No. I haven't actually read that one, but I've got the gist of it, so I know what the calamity is. Now, before all this crisis blew up about the actual genuine issues with Zoom on a technical side, so Deb's saying the last year issue with Zoom, my PC was hijacked twice after being in a Zoom webinar. I can believe it. Now, this is slightly related to that, but not bang on point in terms of hijack. It is hijacking, but it's hijacking of a live room. So I'd heard of this about 2 days ago, and I said to Mike, we're going to need to think about best practices to secure these things, because we're running sessions and the people aren't exactly the most tech savvy people on the planet. So what we were thinking was, don't put a lobby in place. Do you all know about the lobby in Zoom? Basically, Adobe Connect had a lobby and we used to put people in the lobby. All a lobby was a holding area where you could carry on setting the room up and nobody knew how many people or if any were waiting to come in other than you. And then when you opened the room, people automatically got transferred from the lobby holding area into the Adobe Connect webinar. Well, Zoom has an exact same feature. It's a lobby area. You are logged into this area. You don't know who else is there. And you are waiting for the room to open and be moved into it. But the problem with it was, you as the host of the meeting have to move everybody individually. So if you've got 200 people waiting to come into a room, not good. Even, I would say, you know, above 10, you're going to have to keep your eye on that lobby and manually move people. So you would could then do with having a co-host, a technical assistant. But the problem with that is, I don't think in Zoom you can have a technical assistant that you can promote. You've seen a promotion thing, Mike? In Zoom, where you can promote? I know you can have an alternative host, but I assume it's instead of you rather than as well as you. If you want another host, you have to pay for it, but there's a minimum of 10 hosts. So it all gets very messy. So with the groups that we're working with, where they're not tech savvy at all, I said to Mike, we just have to leave it as open as possible to make it easy for people to get in, which would be fine. But a new concept has appeared, Zoom jacking. And what's happening is people are randomly to a point, but it could be completely random. So how Zoom works is every Zoom meeting has a Zoom ID and it's a number. It's usually (3-4). So it's like a phone number. That is the address of the room. So if you've set up your meeting and you've got this address, you can put that address out. You can either give it to people in an email direct to them. But what some people are doing is, to make it a lot easier, they're using that ID number and they're putting it out publicly and saying there's a meeting about X on whatever. And it could be a meeting. It could be a social. Mike and I have done that. We had 30 odd people in there. But that Zoom ID is then in the public domain. And what's happening is other people, miscreants, are grabbing these Zoom IDs, diving into a Zoom room and then doing naughty things. So either showing pornographic pictures, playing pornographic videos, they're putting music on really, really loud and it's drowning everybody else out. Just generally antisocial behaviour. Now, most people who are hosting these Zoom things, there's only the one of them. This is the point. With a free Zoom account, you can only have one host, which means that host then has to deal with all of that. And a lot of people have no idea how to deal with that. There is a whole range of settings that aren't primary settings. You could be an argument there that they should be, but if you think about setting up a meeting and you've already got enough of things to set, you've got the time and the date and whether you're recording it or not, who's the host or not, whether you have an alternative host or not, what time zone it's in, you've already got a lot of information to set up. So be it right or wrong, they've decided that the more advanced technical stuff, all to do with security, I might add, is hidden away in another section. So if you haven't set this up beforehand, you know, how would you know how to kick somebody out? One of the settings is a checkbox that says don't allow people to rejoin if I've kicked them out. But by default, it's off. So even if you kick somebody out, you could be playing virtual Zoom whack-a-mole trying to keep them out. To the point, Mike found this particular story, which is very distressing, on the BBC site. And that's all about the synagogue who were having a meeting. And they ended up with people hijacking it and putting most inappropriate comments in the chat. Again, you know, do people have access to the chat? And the way Zoom by default works is that everybody has access to everything. So not good news at all. So Zoom have got problems on half a dozen fronts at the moment. One, keeping up with demand for it. Two, the more technical aspects that are dangerous that, being honest, muggles don't care about. And then the more practical issues like Zoom rooms being hijacked that they very much do care about. I'll say it'll all come out in the wash in the end. We'll all be experts on Zoom settings. But at the moment, that's what's happening. Has anybody been in a meeting and had that kind of thing happen? We've been fortunate enough so far that we haven't. But Mike's got a very important meeting tomorrow night and we've just had a quick chat and said, yeah, we're going to have to secure that more. We didn't want to have to send things out like passwords for people to get in, because the only people who have problems with passwords are the people who should actually be in the meeting. You know, hijackers don't worry about stuff like that. So Zoom bombing, that's the latest trend. Do you know, it doesn't take long on lockdown, does it? for the baser part of human nature to find a way to resurface. That's all I'll say with it. Zoom's fantastic for people who they're less scared of using Zoom than they are something that sounds complicated. You know, Zoom, they branded themselves brilliantly. And Mike and I have said the reason that they are the number one in all of this is the branding. But they are not the best company when it comes to securing anything. They just seem to want to keep moving forward and having thousands and thousands of users, which is all very well. But there are problems, both practical and technical. Hopefully they'll be sorting it out. So Deb's been in one that was doing nasty things. I don't get the mentality myself, but... But at least the moderators did know how to kick them out and keep them out. I'll probably put together... We did a Zoom session a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about it from the perspective of getting an account and setting it up. What would probably be a good idea to do is best practices of how to secure rooms now. So we'll sort that out. We're going to have to do that in the next 24 hours anyway. So might as well share it with you and then you'll know everything that we know. But a lot of moderators won't be doing that. They won't know how. It's not obvious. You really have to dig deep. So Paul's saying they've been using Skype for Business or Teams at work. I think if you've already got Skype for Business or Teams, you'll probably stick with it. Having said that, Mike's company have already got all of that and they've just taken Zoom on. I'm wondering when the proverbial's going to hit the fan over all of that, Mike.
Zoom is designed for meetings over 250 people.
Which the others are not optimised for, are they?
Actually, 150 people. Because although Microsoft say you can have 250 people in a Skype or Teams meeting, once you've got more than about 150, you start to find the quality drops. So it's for big meetings.
The thing is, if you've got, you know, very much Zoom, oh, this is another point, isn't it? The account that you create for in Zoom for free is a meeting account. Now, we didn't touch on this because it wasn't relevant when we were, this is how you set up Zoom and this is how you do it. But actually, Zoom have two other platforms. One is, what's the other one, Mike? I know there's a webinar one and there's another one after that. Now, the difference between a Zoom meeting and a Zoom webinar, you know, you think, well, they're one and the same. Actually, GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar do exactly the same thing. The differences are subtle. But they're subtle enough to make a huge difference in these circumstances. I shall look forward to that photograph of your dinner on Slack, Jonathan. It sounds fab. I'll be craving pasta then, but never mind. I think we've actually got pasta, haven't we? We got a packet of pasta?
No.
Oh, we haven't got a packet of pasta. We ate the last one. Oh, well.
Didn't turn up.
We have a delivery of dog food, but not from the supermarkets. That's a whole
it's
other
business.
It's stuck
in the Morrison's basket.
Yeah, it's going to be stuck in the Morrison's basket till Christmas. I can literally see myself putting Christmas pudding in with it. It's been in the basket that long. I've lost the will to live. Anyway, Zoom meetings automatically assume that anybody and everybody in the meeting is equal, as you would be in a meeting room that you could raise your hand and say, may I just say. A Zoom webinar assumes that you are not equal. It assumes that you have one or more hosts and that everybody else is subservient to the hosts. So there's more control in the webinar session. The thing is, it's absolutely astronomical. The price of Zoom itself is not bad at all for 100 users in the meeting side of it for over 40 minutes. It comes in at under it's about £140 to £144 a year. So it's not that bad. But the webinar side could be that per month. So while those security features inherent within the webinar side would potentially be useful, it's not built that way. It's built where everybody's equal. And obviously that's been hijacked and abused at the moment. So that's what seems to be happening there. So Kim's saying all of her dental webinars have been Zoom based. The thing is, once people know Zoom on a private level or professional level, they tend to stick with it. And it has just de facto become the standard. That could all change. But at the moment, can't see it. Because once people are skilled up on one, they're pretty loath to move. Even in, like I've said, I would categorise these issues into two distinct categories. The kind that technical people are concerned about and the kind that muggles are concerned about, which vicariously the technical people have to worry about as well. So they get both barrels. But some of them aren't going, if they're not hijacked, then they're not going to give that much concern to it. But it is going to be a big issue. So Anthony said that it would be helpful to go over those settings. So we'll do those settings on Friday. It's going on a post-it note, so you'll know it'll happen. Zoom settings, Friday. There we go. It's on the post-it note. It's in the system. So that was the Zoom debacle. Then TSB banking went again, online banking. The TSB, which is that owned now by NatWest now?
I think it is.
Which in turn is owned by Royal Bank of Scotland. So I think there's just one bloke somewhere in a room that owns all the banks. It was the Trustees Savings Bank years ago. My mother was with them. She left in a bit of a huff. But TSB, their online banking is somewhat erratic, would we say? Down more than it's up. Well, today it's gone again. So apart from the fact that people are being put on furlough and not being paid, those who have been paid, who have their money in the TSB and are trying to pay bills with it or buy things in the shops, not happening because the online banking's down. Meanwhile, the government did one of their daily sessions with the Three Stooges, the actual cast of which changes daily, but the principle's still the same, three idiots in a room, have said that, and it was a good point to make, and the public will agree with it, that the public bailed the banks out in 2008 and now it's the bank's turn to repay. At which point news broke that the TSB had gone down. So I can't actually see that happening anytime soon. Teams seems to work the same way. Teams is about to take off. Teams could be about to put an assault onto Zoom, because as we talked about yesterday with the Office 365 moving to Microsoft 365, Teams is going to be included in the personal packages as well as the enterprise. Now, I'm already seeing Teams asking me to log in, but it's asking me to log in on my enterprise account. And seeing as though on the machine in question, which is a virtual machine, and I only have this virtual machine because we're still struggling with clients to be persuaded to move to Affinity Publisher. They are still on Microsoft Publisher, so I need this virtual machine. So every time it boots up, I'm like, no, go away. But if that comes down to the personal side of it, I'm saying to Mike, well, will Skype go away? I'm not seeing Teams as being a person-to-person thing, but who knows? Maybe it will be. Maybe it will. And then we'll all be up to speed on Teams. But there's so many platforms. It's just which ones are being used. If you send a meeting request to a group of muggles, it'll be, why aren't we using Zoom? Because you've used that before, and they can't see the problems. They just want something that they're familiar with. I mean, Mike was doing some support last night and he haired off into the studio with, was it your Surface and an iPad and a laptop, all kinds of stuff. And he said, well, you know, she is in her late 80s and she's actually doing support for somebody else. So Mike's teaching her so she can act as basically technical assistant to somebody else. He was back in within 10 minutes. He said, whoa, she's savvy. No problems at all. She'd actually managed to download the application. She'd got into it. She was ready for him. When Mike said, well, here's the room number, she put that in. She tapped the join now. There she said, I can see you. Everything's fine. Whoa. So some people are better than you think. No matter who bails out whom or did that backwards, it seems like the taxpayer. You're right, Kim. I mean, when you've got Richard Branson asking for a handout, it's ridiculous. It's always going to come back on the taxpayer. I notice at the minute what is happening over here. Lots of companies, including those that you would consider to be high-end fashion designers, are now making scrubs. For which I, for one, am incredibly grateful, because our lovely daughter Rachel struggling to get scrubs. I didn't know this. I thought that I'm that old school. She has to wash her own scrubs. So when she's come in from a shift, she's got to bring them in with her and she has to wash them. So she's washing sort of three times a week to start with. But at the moment, that doesn't make any sense to me. In my day, everything was done at the laundry at the hospital. Now it's not. You've got to do your own. So she was on the lookout for more scrubs. Not a scrub to be had this side of the beginning of May, unfortunately. And the problem is, while she can get emergency scrubs at work, she's so tiny, she's a size 6 at the outside, but probably a 4. And that's a UK 4, which is probably an American 2, something like that. They're falling off her. She's having to tie them up with string and all sorts. So no scrubs to be had anywhere. Whilst I was having a look, there was other stuff that were out of stock of, and something that I didn't actually get a chance to mention to Mike, which I will now. You know, when I was looking for those scrubs for Rachel, they had a packet of the face masks that you bought. Now, I don't know what you paid for them. Was the 50 in a packet? They looked identical.
Eight.
Yes, those. He's now wafting a face mask at me. Yes, one of those.
Did I buy them?
Yeah. Or did I buy them? I thought they were no more than about £5.
I have no idea.
Well, they had a pack of 50 face masks. They were £70. I thought, whoa, they've gone up a bit. Right, I'm heading off now to Slack to have a look at Jonathan's food.
Oh, dinner time.
Oh, I'm liking that. Oh, nice. Now, our pasta's kind of curly. Do they make gluten pasta that shape, Mike?
Probably.
We've never had it.
I just get what I can.
Well, yes.
Which
is at the minute is a tin of Pedigree Chum dog food and a toilet roll.
Well, there's enough.
Oh, it's nice. That looks nice.
Is that tuna?
It looks like tuna.
Tuna and sweet pork.
And I'm liking the onions as well. Morrison's had no onions. Not pleased. Not pleased. What does gluten-free pasta taste like? It's not actually bad, Jonathan. It looks colour-wise similar to that. We get the curly one. I can't remember the name. It begins with an F.
Or something.
I thought it was... it begins with an F. Taste-wise, it's really not bad. What's that stuff you put it with? Is it Dolmio?
Dolmio.
Like a Dolmio sauce. And it's really nice. Well, Paul, you're not going to believe this. My gluten allergy kicked in when I was about 21. And I'd never eaten pasta. So I've only ever eaten gluten-free pasta. So I couldn't do a taste comparison, but I'm guessing something similar to pasta. £100, 100 for face masks. This is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. One was, I'm trying to think who they were. I'm not good with clothes manufacturers. Oh, it was a well-known one, though. I'd heard of them. And they were... just changing production, completely changing production, which might be a good idea because we've also got people over here who are in distribution centres and they cannot be 2 metres apart and their bosses are making them go in. So the government are stepping in with that one as well. Oh, what a world we live in.
I'd like to know what Kim's eating.
What's Kim eating?
I don't know, but she said the pasta is better than what she's eating.
Oh.
If she tells me what she's eating, I'll tell her what I'm eating.
I don't think it'll come in as a surprise to anybody as to what you're eating. they should charge them under from people who don't need them. True, Jonathan. The places I was looking at in the end, to try and get these scrubs were because obviously she's trying to work today and she knows she needs more scrubs. So I said, leave it with me. I started looking at supply companies and some of them had them, but others were saying they were ordering on demand, so they had to get an order from you before they would place an order. It's just ridiculous. But no, and the other thing is, of course, they've got to be the right colour. It's like my dentist wears black, Rachel wears blue, the nurses at my dental practice wear blue, the admin staff wear green, so there's like 19 different colours of these things as well. Who
colour-coded.
Knew they are colour-coded.
It's like at the Apple store.
It's just like at the Apple store.
Yeah.
Maybe Apple could donate some because they were blue as well. And they were in a set. I don't know what the price is for a set of scrubs, but these were £29 for one set, which I have no idea where that is. I have no idea how that would compare to normal. I mean, they're quite thin, aren't they? And shapeless. So I would have thought £20 would have been more than enough, but they were £29. So no idea where that is on the scale of rip-off merchant this week, but didn't have any in stock anyway, not until the end of last day of April, first day of May. So she'd have to wait 4 weeks. The only thing is, without getting graphic, you know, sometimes you need to change these things 3 times a day. So you definitely need more rather than less. Wilted lettuce and balsamic vinegar, tomatoes and chicken. Well, we had tomatoes and chicken and apple cider vinegar. Now we didn't
put
it.
It's not unlike our lunch.
No, we didn't. But well, I'm thinking dinner. We had vegetables, mixed vegetables with it. But we were both trying to do 9 different jobs while we were doing that, weren't we, Mike?
Mm.
So I can't actually remember eating it, to be honest. Shocking, I know, but what can you do? No, we had a salad for lunch, and it sounded very similar to that. But Mike does have a bag of toffees. Well, he has part. I told him that, Kim. I told him to be careful. I told him to suck on them. We don't want a dental emergency. He can't help himself.
No, I can't.
He can't. I'm going to have to take them off him.
I wish you would.
Do you want me to take them off you?
No.
I wish you would take them off. Don't take them off.
No, I want to have self.
Some self-control.
Self-control. Willpower.
Can't even say the word, much less do it. Right, I'll hide them overnight, Mike. That's what I'll do. We'll call it an early Easter egg hunt. It'll be fine. Now, also, back into technical news. Yesterday, Apple updated iWork, the long-awaited update with the shared folders. So the idea is that Apple use iCloud to take on Dropbox. Sorry, just laughing to self there. I've not tried it yet. I'm saving it for a little treat for myself. I've read the release notes and it looks like it's Catalina only. Has anybody tried it? And if you have you tried it on anything other than Catalina?
Did you just say Katina?
I did say Katina. Yeah, I meant Catalina.
I was going to say Katina when I read it.
Oh, I'm going stir crazy. That's what it is. Actually, Mike, is it me? But it's dark quite early tonight. I know it's April Fool's Day, but what happened? It's usually lighter for at least about half an hour. It's really dark here. So, yes, iWork updates. I was hopeful of lots and lots of lovely new features. I couldn't be less interested in the sharing folders stuff. My rationale for that is Mike and I were already sharing a file. And just randomly, it unshares a file. There's also incredible limitations on it when you come to do that. It stops certain features working inside the application. So it freaks me out, totally freaks me out. I'm actually looking here at these things. It says version 10 a day ago. No, it says requires 10.15.4. So that does not look like it's happening anytime soon here then. You've got the updates, but you are on Catalina. I'm wondering if my updates are going to be any good anymore. Do I need to do the Catalina thing to even get these updates? Let's have a look what it's saying to me. Yep. I can't even. Oh, actually, there's an update button. Oh, I wonder what that means then. It's telling me there's no updates, but there is an update button next to the Keynote update. But it does say that the shared iCloud Drive folder to automatically start collaborating requires 10.15.4. Yeah, problem with that is even if I updated, Mike is still on High Sierra. Didn't even bother with the Mojave thing. So not much point sharing then, because he's the only one to be sharing it with. The other things that they have put in are more... What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, pathetic is a word that comes to mind. Things like themes. They've added more themes. And I don't know anybody who sticks with a single theme. That, you know, you're not taught that these days. You're not encouraged to do that. So I wasn't particularly concerned about that. What else did they say it had? Because I lost interest after that, I must admit. Right. So forget the shared iCloud Drive folder thing. That won't work. Edit shared presentations while offline and your changes will upload when you're back online. You would be insane to try that, because that's the problem where it stops sharing. And if it stops sharing, you will end up with two different versions of it that you'll need to manually sort out. Select from a variety of gorgeous new themes to help you get started. No. Not thrilled. Easily access your recently used themes in a redesigned theme chooser. You're moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic. Because, didn't you talk about an update to PowerPoint the other day?
Last night.
Get that thing out that had all the changes on it, because I'm like, oh, want. Another thing is you can print or export a PDF of the presentation with comments included, which sounds fabulous, doesn't it? My problem is I've got so used to that you don't get the comments, that I can have comments in Keynote but not have them when I'm exporting to the PDF. Now I'm going to have to remember to turn them off. Now, obviously, this next one is the most important thing on the planet. Sarcasm. Add a drop cap to make text stand out with a large decorative first letter. Can I just suggest, if you need a drop cap, on a slide, you're going to need to redesign that slide. Just saying. Kim's given me permission to hide your sweets, Mike, so you can wander around all day looking.
She really?
To be honest, Kim, he more than gets his steps with Lola, who has been going stir crazy, bless her. She's been good today, though, hasn't she? She has. Right, another thing that they've added, enhance your presentations with a variety of new editable shapes. Now, I'm always grateful when there's more editable shapes. There's also a new keyboard text build-in and build-out animation, which I foresee would get incredibly annoying after one word.
Right.
But that's what they've added. So you take it away, Mike, with what Microsoft added.
Just for PowerPoint?
Yeah, I only went through the PowerPoint once. They're pretty much the same in everything else, to be honest.
Right. Where's it gone? Oh, here we go. One of the most common fears for people around the world is public speaking. Presenter coach in PowerPoint can help. While you're rehearsing, presenter coach uses AI to detect if you're talking too fast, saying too much.
Yeah, we talked about this last night, didn't we?
We did.
But we didn't get onto the other stuff. We only talked about that.
From your slides. Starting today, we're introducing two new AI-powered features into PowerPoint Presenter Coach exclusively for 365 subscribers. Monotone pitch and speech refinement. With monotone pitch, Presenter Coach will listen to your tone of voice and give feedback in real time to suggest adding some variation where needed. With speech refinement,
I'm imagining being coached in presenting by Siri
or Alexa. With speech refinement, Presenter Coach will give grammar suggestions, including how to better phrase your speech. These new Presenter Coach features will be available to everyone through a free preview and then eventually only to 365 subscribers. So that was one thing.
Can I just say about that?
Yeah.
It might be useful for people who are incredibly nervous, but for people who are incredibly nervous, to be told that they're monotone as well just gives them more problems, not less.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, it could literally sap whatever confidence they had left. But never mind.
The other thing was PowerPoint Designer. With a simple click, you can transform text into a beautiful timeline. Or when you add a picture to your slide, Designer will auto-generate several slide layouts to choose from. Doesn't it do that already with ideas?
I thought it did.
The thing that appears on the right-hand side. To supercharge your creativity, we're providing 365 subscribers with exclusive access to over 8,000 beautiful images and 175 looping videos from Getty Images, plus 300 new fonts and 2,800 new icons to create high-impact and visually appealing documents.
Now, those I was excited with.
Yeah. I was excited with those.
PowerPoint already has a million times more... good evening, Tracy. A million times more icons, and they had them a lot faster than Apple did. Theirs are also editable to a certain degree. So I have often gone into PowerPoint just to play around with the shapes and then take that back and put it into Keynote. Apple just seem to be tinkering around the edge. They don't seem to be acknowledging that. I mean, that kind of stuff is innovative from Microsoft. The stuff Apple are doing doesn't feel innovative to me. I could just be highly critical because I really do use Keynote day in, day out. And half the time, and I know Jonathan said the same, half the time you're thinking to yourself, this would be a lot easier in Designer. And you find yourself switching to Designer to do something and then going back to Keynote. It is just so annoying. And Apple don't seem to be taking any input from people who do use it. Ah, I missed that one from Jonathan. Jonathan says, your slide designs are much better. You should work for Apple.
Yes, I saw that.
Do you think Apple are ready for me? I definitely don't.
Probably not.
Probably not, no. No, but we're all doing this remote working now, so it doesn't matter where you live. They've no excuse anymore. Kim says, my Microsoft 365 takes forever to load. It's on the poor, slow machine. It can do, yeah. But, you know, there's so much they could do to make that so much better, because I look at what Adobe have done, and I mean, Photoshop, it could take 3 weeks to load, and now actually it's quite quick. But it's a matter of listening to what people are saying, you know, the users who use it day in, day out. If you work for Adobe and you're using Photoshop, you're likely to start it in the morning and then close it at night. But your average users, in and out, and they notice things like that. It affects them more. But they have done it under an initiative they call JDI, Just Do It. And they're taking 20% of their time to address JDI issues. And it's niggly things like things aren't in the right place in a dialog box. They're not optimal. And they are actually dealing with these things. They've been doing this initiative for about 4 years now. And little by little, things are getting better. But Apple don't seem to take any notice whatsoever of what people have to say. I heard that they did design it in Keynote, Jonathan. But the thing was, they were cutting edge when Steve Jobs was here. Probably from about 2002-3 up to about 2009. But now, they just look tired. And anything that looks snazzy on a slide, I agree with you, probably doing it somewhere else and taking it in. Tracy says, masks, you don't really need one, probably healthy enough to get through it without being infected. My son's a doctor and he works with neonates. Exactly. I know people are saying, I mean, Pete explained why a mask isn't the cure-all, but it can't hurt, is my attitude. So when I took in the order yesterday, I had disposable gloves on. He had disposable gloves on. And when we opened the door to each other, about 2 metres apart, just looking at each other, we both had masks on as well. I never thought. Do you know, even a month ago, if I'd have said that's what you'd be doing, you'd have had me locked up. But it is. It's that serious. It's that serious. So Paul's saying he thought they were doing that Just Do It thing with the professional apps and brought people in. They have made huge strides with the professional apps. I'll give you that, Paul. But again, it feels with Apple, it's all gloss and not much in the way of substance. If you think about it, if you announce to somebody you've got 100 new editable shapes and Microsoft say we've got 2000 new editable shapes, Apple still get one bullet on the release thing to say, well, yeah, we added some new shapes. The fact that they're not useful or there's not as many of them and the one that you want is missing seems to be completely irrelevant to them. They don't seem in any way to be listening to people who use it. I'll say listening to people who use it. I guess I use it excessively, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. And the things that even Microsoft haven't put in, like branching and layers. And you might say, well, why do you need layers? So if you think about how layers work in Designer, I have actually had to do presentations where I've done the majority of the text-based stuff, if there is text-based stuff. And this is when it's most relevant, when it's text-based. In Designer, because it needs to be in three languages. Whereas, if Keynote had layers, I could toggle them on and off. The only way I can effectively do it in Keynote on its own is if I've got a background on the slide and it's, say, blue. Instead of having the background in the background, so in the master, if you just have a square the right size in the right place, then you can hide the other two languages underneath. But believe me, it's not ideal. If you think of how, does anybody use OmniGraffle? If you think of how OmniGraffle works, where you can build up a diagram by turning layer after layer after layer on. So I did this when we had the extension built at the back. I wanted to see plans and they were less inclined for plans. Oh, it'll be fine. And I'm like, no, we're having plans. I'll draw them. So I did a side elevation and a front elevation of what exactly I wanted, down to the last millimetre of where the door was going to go. There's a long story about the door, but I'll spare you. So I did the side elevation, I did the front elevation, and I started putting things on it, like where the window catches needed to be and stuff. And then I thought, just a minute, I also need to put on here measurements. So I created a separate layer for each element. So I had the base outline on the back, on the background layer, and then on top of that I put the measurements, and then on top of that I put things like switch. Well, actually, I think the next one I did was the which way the windows opened. You put like a chevron on them. So I had the chevrons on another layer. Then I had the handles and the minutiae on another layer. And I was able to toggle them on and off and say to him, well, that's the elevation that I want. These are the measurements. I've checked and they're right. And then they came to life. And this was on an iPad. I think I actually designed it on the iPad. This was a case of just because I had one, I could. I'm not saying it was the best way to go. I just bought the first 12.9 iPad and it had arrived in the middle of this build. And I knew I was going to have to either print it out or show him the iPad. So I thought, well, I'd just use the iPad. And I built it up on an iPad. So the iPad was capable of doing that in OmniGraffle in 2015. Why can't we have layers? What harm would it do? You know, you don't need them. If you don't need them, don't use them. But if you do need them, then they're there. Apple just seem to be completely oblivious to anything like that. Right, let me have a look here. Don't think Apple pays a lot of attention. They don't seem to. A good few years ago, they did seem to. They would read blog posts and they'd address issues that were raised in them. I've been banging on a bit about these features for ages and they're just being ignored. So Tracy's working bilingual as well. Yep, Affinity Designer's your friend with that. Just toggle it on and off. Affinity Designer's fine, depending on the number of slides. That's the only problem with it. It does start to slow down with a large number. I think I had 200 and odd in one Affinity Designer file. It didn't like it. It didn't. But, ooh, Jonathan's pimping out Affinity Designer. That's what I like, Jonathan. Excellent. Right, Kim's saying the mask pore size is bigger than the virus, but my nose pore size is bigger than the mask. We actually saw in February, we were at Old Trafford and we were coming away from the ground after one of the memorial services, and they get a lot of Chinese visitors. And there was all these Chinese people walking around in masks and people were looking at them like, what are they walking around like that for? Because it wasn't big news over here at the time. But I said to Mike, you know, it's not going to be long and that's going to be the rest of us. And obviously, that's exactly what happened. So Tracy's saying she doesn't think Apple realise how many people use Keynote for designing. That's very true. There's actually a guy and his information product is using Keynote to mock up iOS apps. And if you think about it, you've got hotspot linking and you could go from one page to another. And that's what he teaches. I've been using that for years. I remember doing a demonstration of creating an ebook that you could then export and you could take it out of Keynote as a PDF with hot links, as a website with hot links. And what I was doing with it was taking it out and putting it in iBooks Author with hot links. A lot of people do use that. It's got the feature there for that. A couple of updates ago, probably about 18 months ago, so a few updates ago, they completely broke the hot linking. And I just looked at Mike and said, I can't use it. Oh my God, I've got this thing to do, this job to do. I can't use it. I had to roll it back. So I never, ever update my iWork apps without making a manual backup of the version before. And I have a whole folder of previous backups. And what I do is when you make a backup, it calls it the name of the file that you've just backed up. So I make a zip file. So it's called Keynote. And the first thing I do is put on the end underscore and then the version number, which is usually x.y.z. And I put them on there and I put them in a backup and I keep them for ages. In that case, I was able to roll back and get back the functionality that they had broken. And this was what I was saying to you about double buying things. You can, of course, back up. You could do a time machine backup, you could do a manual backup, but there's no way in the App Store to roll back a version. That's why I do it. But if they bring out a duff one and it's a feature you don't notice is broken until you've done two more updates, it can be catastrophic to your workflow. I remember saying to Mike at the time, so Affinity Publisher must have been in beta, and I was saying, you know, if only Affinity Publisher could do it. But at the time, they didn't have any kind of internal hot linking. As soon as it came out, within a week, I'd got onto them and said, like, I can't use this full stop if I want to create a PDF with external or internal links in it. And they came back and said, yeah, we didn't think that'd be important, because their rationale for building it was, I mean, designer doesn't do it to start with. Photo certainly doesn't do it. It made sense to me that publisher would do it, but didn't make any sense to them, because they were saying they were treating it as an application to create printed material. And in printed material, you don't need linkable hotspots. And I explained the situation to them and they said, leave it with us and we'll see what we can do. And a couple of months later, they did actually add it. It looked like a very, very much an afterthought as they added it, and it's still not quite as smooth as I would like it. You have to go into a dialogue box. I can't see why it can't be a panel. But it's there, so at least you can do it now. But no, unfortunately, the features I'm still waiting for and have been for the last 10 years are still not in Keynote. But we have a new typed transition. Be still, my beating heart. Ooh, she's using Adobe for other clients, much to her annoyance. Yeah, that's how a lot of people are with it at the moment. Oh, you really have been working hard here, promoting it to your mates to buy it for photography. Excellent, excellent. First version mock-up in Affinity Designer and then transferred it to Keynote and added the interactivity. Good idea. If you're in Affinity Designer, you could do worse than actually open exactly the same file in Publisher. If you've got it and you can add it in there and keep it that way, it's still editable. But yeah, that's where we are at the moment. It really just does need a big up. I mean, they've actually gone to version 10 this time. Every time they go to a big point update, I think, ooh, but it's not the kind of useful features. But what can you do? Wish you could have done that with OneNote after Microsoft improved it. I feel your pain. I remember pinging them saying, what have you done with the colour? And it was surprising. It was still purple, but it was the most lurid purple. And I thought, you know, it might only have changed a few shades, but now my eyes are bleeding. And I went back and said, like, what have you done with the colour? Like, do you like it? Like, short version? No, change it back. And it took about three versions, but they did. Where? What's that, Tracy? Affinity Publisher art linking. Yeah, what are you trying to link between? The mock-up was before it came out. Right, what are you trying to link? Are you trying to link to another page within what is at the moment an Affinity Designer file, or are you trying to link to external links? But Publisher can do both. And Publisher can read designer files natively. The only thing to think about is, would you be using Publisher or would you be using Designer? Now, my preference would be start in Publisher, because Publisher is where the Affinity Suite link thing comes from. So you can always take it out and use Designer tools and then get it back in there. But when you open it, oh, she's so excited. When you open it, when you open a designer file in Publisher, it will ask you if you want to create layouts for it, spreads. And that's why I would be careful. If you really think about, do you need to go back to Designer? And if you do, could you get to Designer through the sync thing from Publisher? But yeah, it can do both. Let me open up Publisher. It's there. As I say, it's a little bit on the rustic side, but it's there. You can do it. I'll demonstrate this on Friday if you want, but I can whip in and have a swift look where you'll find it. So all I'm doing, this isn't going to work well, is it, audio? I'm giving you a running commentary on what I'm actually doing. What I'm doing is I'm going in and I'm going to make a good few pages. So let's do that. Excellent. And you need somewhere to hot link from. So can you do it from a shape? Let's have a look at that. Can you do it from a shape? I know you can do it from text. It's interactive. Let's have a look. Looks like you can. Yes. All you need to do is have an object. So I've just put a square, but it could be a square. It could be any other kind of shape. Basically, it could be any object, and that includes text. So if it's text in a frame and you only want part of the text to be the link, you can do that as well. So with it selected, whichever it is you want selected. So I've just done it on a square. If you go up to... let's get rid of that. If you go up to text and down to interactive, you have in there hyperlink. So go into that and put a hyperlink on it. In my case, I'm just going to tell it to go to page 8. And when that's exported, it will then, clicking on that item will send it to page 8. The other type of link that you've got is, if you are on page 8 and you've got a block of text and you want to link to that block of text, then linking to the page isn't going to be sufficient. You want to link to the block of text or the graphic or whatever it is you want to link to. Go to that page, which has got the destination in it. go back to text, go to interactive, and you should be able to find Anchor. I think that might be text only. That could be text only. But you can specify an anchor. Now, an anchor is a destination for a link. So you can basically do two things. You can create a link internally to another page, and it, when you export to something that obviously you can click, so not printed paper. I know it's April the 1st, but not printed paper. I'm not going to tell you that. But if it's a PDF, it will click out to that link. The other type of thing you can create is an anchor, and that's a destination. So one is a starting point to go somewhere. The other is a destination. But yeah, I'll put that down for Friday and show you how it all works. Oh, Jonathan's using Designer a lot. We love that. Posters. I don't think it matters with posters, Jonathan, I must admit. The only thing that makes it sensible for me with Designer is if I wanted to quickly get from the poster I'm designing and maybe in the background. So think of that poster I did for Pete the other day at the Coffin. At the back of it, there was an image, but the rest of it was vector. So I think I did it in Publisher. And when I wanted to go out and fiddle with the background, I could go out into Photo and then come back. But just because Publisher makes it easier to get to the other two and come back, absolutely. Yep, it's going on a post-it note, Tracy, so you know what that means. It will happen. Hyperlinking in Designer. Publisher. There we go. Designer doesn't do it. I'm assuming they want you to buy all three and use different features in each one. So, yep, absolutely. Right, you need to sort out menus and toolbar. They're a mess. Mine always look far more organised. Is this in Designer, Jonathan, or Publisher or something? I do edit mine, I must admit. You don't get the full glory off them because I try to use the space on my 27-inch iMac. And when I'm broadcasting, I broadcast with it much smaller. So I broadcast at 1600 by 900. But if you are meaning the toolbar things, yeah, I do. What I add, which I find a great help, saves a lot of time, are things for alignment and distribution. Now, there is a drop-down dialogue. And when I'm working really tiny on the screen, I have to rely on this drop-down dialogue and it drives me insane. But I spread them out across the menu bar and I prefer it that way. So, yeah, I do make changes to mine. I must admit, I'm not super organized with it in terms of I know the changes that I want to make and I make them. I don't then tend to do all the backup thing and that because I know how I have them. One that I do change a lot, a great big lot, is Keynote. That Keynote had some stuff on there that's like, yeah, never going to use that. But I change them and I put things on there. Let's have a look in Keynote. Because when I install Keynote on a new machine, I look at it and like, whoa, where's my features gone? let me open up this. I wonder if I've even got a presentation for Friday. Oh, short answer to that is no, so I better get on to that, seeing as though it's Wednesday. So I'm opening Friday's presentation. Just have a look what buttons I put along the top. Why has iCloud decided unilaterally to expunge all my files and stick them up in the cloud? No idea. Right, what I have that I cannot live without on my toolbar is copying a style, copying the attributes and pasting them. There are shortcut keys, but they clash with global applications that I use. So I use the buttons for that. So I always add those. Another one that I add is the show or hide the object list, because I can't live without the object list. The object list, I remember discussing this with Mike and he said, what's the object list? It was like, oh, head desk. The object list lists every item on your slide. It's like a column and it sits between your thumbnails and the single slide that you're working on. And the reason it's useful is, particularly if you're doing the bilingual thing or you've got something hidden behind something else, you can just grab it from this object list and manipulate it from the object list. You don't have to go and find it, which may mean dragging things out of place while you're trying to find the bit that you want. So the object list, absolutely critical. I put the button on there, but to be honest, I never have it turned off. So my object list is always showing. Then I've got these two that copy the attributes, paste the attributes. Then I've got the standard ones in the middle, but I have added to that. No idea what that one is. Oh, the alignment guides, hiding the alignment guides. I've got the show advanced image adjustment options, and then the ones that aren't there automatically, which is the making parts of an image transparent, the cropping tool, and the flipping tool, where you can flip vertically or flip horizontally. I just find they are far too awkward to go and find them. So, yeah, and what I do with that, Jonathan, you can't export that to back it up. So what I do is I have in Notion my wiki, which I share with Mike. I would add an item to the wiki that says Keynote interface setup. And then inside there, instead of listing it all and explaining, I just take a screenshot and dump it in there. So whenever I go to a new machine or I'm working on somebody else's machine and I'm like, where's that button gone? I just bring up the picture and just make the one that I'm working in look like that. But I have learned through long, bitter experience to document that. That was Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition would drive a saint to drink. With Adobe Audition, it's a wonderful application, just not nowhere near as good as Hindenburg. But I edited a lot of shows in there. I've edited more in Hindenburg than anything else. I started in GarageBand, moved through to Soundtrack Pro, then moved to Logic Pro, then moved to Adobe Audition, and then finally Hindenburg. But in Adobe Audition, you have the way I had it set up, I had all three screens of my iMac covered with Adobe Audition. So I had buses and masters and tracks, you name it, I had the whole thing up there. But when you made changes to your layout, I just want to move that there for 2 seconds. It automatically updated or kind of overwrote the settings that you had for your interface. So if you tried to get back to where you were because you'd moved 4 or 5 things, because you had that setting set when you moved them, it automatically updated your settings. It would drive me mad. The only way I could do it was to take 3 screenshots, 1 per screen, and put those into the wiki for those settings and then reset it. The only other way you could do it was actually create a setting, duplicate it, and then leave one as the master setting. Never actually use it, but if you lost some of your settings in the other one because it was stupid, then you could go back and duplicate the master. But you shouldn't have to think like that. But that's what it came down to. Other bit of news today, which you'll smile at. I've still got tech news. Another tech news. Tech news. Who uses iAnnotate? It's a PDF editor. It was one of the most popular until PDF Expert came out. We know about it because we got a review in for MacBytes a good while ago from Derek. And Derek was a huge iAnnotate user. I must admit, love the application, couldn't be doing with the file management. But they released a whole new version a while ago. And in light of the crisis and to help people out, they have knocked 80% off until Sunday. So it's $199. I'm assuming it's £1.99 as well. And it's until Sunday. So it works on iPad, works on iPhone, might be worth having a look. And it would have been a good idea, wouldn't it, if I had got a link for it. But I'm sure Mike will find me a link for it while he's sitting there. iAnnotate, 80% off. Right. It's all of them, says Jonathan. Okay. Is it? Oh, there'll be a link from there then. iAnnotate.com. Right, Jonathan, we'll have a look at it. Show you what to do. Is there a reason you can only use Studio from Publisher and then go to the others and not start in Design? I've wondered that, Kim. I don't know. I would say, from a practical perspective, it could be that Publisher has spreads and the others don't. So at least if you're sending a spread from Publisher to the other two know what to expect. But if you were to send something from Photo or Designer into Publisher, Publisher would have to ask, do you want to make spreads of this? And people would be like, oh, what does that mean? So that's the technical reason. A cynical reason would be if you already had Designer and Photo, you would need to buy Publisher to make it work. But I honestly don't know. I think with them, I would say it was more of a practical thing. It would actually make more sense, if you think about it, for them to do something like Affinity Bridge and have that be the glue that holds everything together. But the Studio Link is instigated from publisher right now. Oh, Tracy needs the object list too. Now, you see, the thing is with the object list, I didn't even know it was there. For years and years, I was like, I was cutting things, sending things to the front and back. I'm a whiz, sending things to the front and back with shortcut keys, because that's what I did. And then I found this object list. Well, what's the object list? And I toggled it on and I thought, oh, it's a list of everything that's on there. Oh, my word. You can even, if you've got thousands of things on a slide, and, you know, why would you? But you might. There's even a search button at the box, on search box at the bottom of the whole thing. So let me see where that normally is. Object list. It's under view. So under the View menu in Keynote, you have a section with three elements in. There's Edit Master Slides, and there's a shortcut key for that. There's Hide Presenter Notes, or Show Presenter Notes, if they're not already showing. And then there's Show or Hide Object List. And there's a shortcut key for it. But as I say, I turn it off so infrequently that I don't really bother with the shortcut keys for that. But I found that, you know, shoving it under the View menu, it didn't exactly make it clear how useful that was going to be. So Object List is what you're looking for in the menu. And once you've got that, you're good to go. Or you could right click on the menu and set it up so it's on there as well. Good night, Jonathan. Family calling time. Enjoy. Right. Okay. Right. Well, yes. The other story I had. If you're a MacBytes listener, you'll know we've had a good old laugh about David Hockney. All of this started when David Hockney was commissioned to make a stained glass window for Westminster Abbey. Now, I don't know if you know about Westminster Abbey, but it's rather a classy looking place, very traditional. And he designed this stained glass window. And when the information came out about it, and he's very good getting the information out to the press, believe you me, because he's just done it again today. His claim to fame for this work of art, massive air quotes, biggest air quotes ever, work of art, was the fact he designed it solely on an iPad. The only problem with it was it looked like a 3-year-old had done it with a stubby crayon. It was not the best advert for "I designed it on an iPad" I have ever seen. So we had a rare old laugh on MacBytes with it. After that, Siri got involved, and there was a couple more stories about him getting stuck in a lift and all that kind of thing. Well, today he's in France, marooned in France, and he's been painting. Pretty much, if it's not nailed down, he's painted it, and now he's moved on to stuff that is nailed down. I appreciate he's an artist, but some of his stuff, not great as far as I'm concerned. Some of it's not bad, but this window particularly was appalling. So, yes, David Hockney rides again. He'd written an entire piece and sent it to the arts editor of the BBC, who sat in his own garden and read the letter out from David Hockney. That's what journalism has become right now. But hey, any mention of David Hockney and we're there. Siri and his mate Otis. You're on hold trying to get supplies for your mother. Oh dear. I hope you managed to find something. We were blessed again today. I've had stuff in two baskets for a week. Mike's had stuff in two or three baskets for a week. Yeah. We just cannot get a slot. We are incredibly busy at all hours of the day and night, so we don't really want to have to go outside and get it either. Plus the fact we've been told by people locally who are doing that the queues are just like 3 hours. We haven't got that time, but we cannot get a slot. So last week, Nina dropped off a packet of 9 toilet rolls, which was all she could get. Our hero, Nina. Nina the ninja shopper. And some dog food. Bless her, she went out twice for the dog food. So she said to me, you know, if we need more dog food, I'll just get it whenever I can see it, because at this stage, no dog food to be had anywhere. Anyway, she rocked up today with 80 tins of dog food. How amazing is our friend? Better than that, she got us all excited. I managed to get you an 18 pack of toilet rolls. So if needs must, we're okay with the toilet rolls. Lola doesn't give a monkey's about toilet rolls. Lola's okay with food, and Lola's actually got enough to be able to share with us. It could come to that, is all I'll say. Oh, well, I've had a rare old time. You've really all perked me up. Not been the best day here. We're all being told that it's not even the calm before the storm anymore. It's just not good. Personally, we've still got our friend in intensive care. Good news is he's no worse. Bad news is he's no better. But we've also heard today of deaths and people on death's door who are people that we know or people that friends of ours know. So it's all becoming far too real.
Reality.
Yeah, it's far too real for our liking at the moment. But talking with you guys every day keeps our spirits up, and I hope we keep your spirits up as well. Do you have Chewy online dog store? Nope, I don't believe we do. Never heard of it. We do have Pets at Home, but I'm not sure about Chewy. Not that I've ever heard of. Let's have a look. Is this UK? Have I missed something? Let's have a look at the price of them. That'll let me know. If the price is in pounds. No, it's in dollars. Don't think we do. I don't think we do. Thank you very much, Tracy. We had a word with Mike's mum today, and I think it's finally hit home with her, hasn't it? Mm. And of course, with our only just having lost her husband, she's in isolation on her own. So we're FaceTiming, we're Zooming. She loves Zoom. I'm not going to talk to her about the security. She loves it. Leave her with it. Let her play happily with it. We can't actually get up there and give her a hug, but we're giving her virtual hugs. But just like we're sending you all virtual hugs. So I enjoyed that. I hope you did. I've got lots of ideas for Friday now. So we've got the Zoom settings, how to lock down your Zoom. That's going to be important. And I thought I'd mentioned hyperlinking, but maybe not. But if we do a special on hyperlinking, I don't have to whiz through it, do I? I can just show you carefully, orderly, how it all works, how you create anchors, how you create links to anchors, and how you export the whole thing. So that's what we'll do on Friday. Added to my list for Friday. In the meanwhile, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. I hope you are all able to join us, unless, of course, you've got a busy social life. Nope, didn't think so. Us neither. We're just about, today we are halfway through our 3-week lock-in. The way it's going, not seen Boris for days, believe he's still alive. Zoom says he's still alive. This 3 weeks they mentioned, yeah, that's looking like 6 to 12 weeks at a minimum. I think they're just trying to train us up slightly for it. And another thing they could be trying to get us more in lockdown, because today they pointed out more people were driving yesterday than the day before. So this is obviously people who are bored and going out for a drive. So we've been warned, you know, if you don't rein yourself in, they will rein you in. So it could yet happen that we're here till Christmas. But you all said you're up for that. I'm up for that. So fair enough. But for today, it's going to be goodbye or good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time, which is tomorrow. Same time, same place. Good night, guys. Stay safe.